It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
What it is, welcome to the three wise men. No, we're not the three wise men.
We're growing weekly.
We're the wise men.
In wisdom and numbers.
The wise men. The wise men. Probably going to change that name of that to like Tyrus and the Bandwaggers.
Jesus.
Lots to talk about today.
The truth hurts.
Hey, you know, we've been in a lot of locker rooms. And we have not always liked everyone we worked with. But can anyone here think of a time where they would throw away the professionalism to like beat a guy up you didn't like, you know, like
no.
I feel like we don't ever bury anybody on this show, but I feel like wrestlers have to say something about the AEW locker room stuff, not anything against the individuals, but the idea that there is more fighting in the back than there is in the actual ring. I think is a problem, because I'm like, I don't get it, because I know, and Aaron can back me up on this, there was a lot of guys that I worked with that I didn't always get along with or like, or whomever or whatever, or the guys that maybe the office was pushing, but the boys didn't feel like they deserved it or whatever the case was. But as soon as you got your name on that paper, whether it was up, down, or whatever, you did your job.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, EC3 is with us. So the good news is he did survive whatever that attack was last week in Florida. But EC3, to get you caught up to speed real quick, we just started. We're talking about locker rooms. So obviously everyone is being – you were hearing all this stuff about – and we're not going to bury anybody, but the – what is it? ECW? What is it? AEW?
AEW.
There you go. Sorry, excuse me.
The root beer.
Yeah, AEW. They're literally, that's true. That is true. That's a great restaurant.
It is a great restaurant. It's also a great root beer.
Yeah, phenomenal. We don't use that term loosely.
Yeah, well, you know, right. Yeah.
But EC3, and you could probably attest to this more, I mean, almost as much as Mike can, there are guys that you don't like. Or even, I was saying, even guys like the office decides to push a guy, and the rest of the boys like, this guy's,
You immediately hate him at that point.
Yeah, right? But you never throw away your professionalism. Right. Like, whatever your name says on that list, if you come in and it says 6 minutes, you got to put this guy over, and everyone in the locker room doesn't like him, doesn't matter. As soon as I walk through that curtain, it reflects me. I just feel like if you can't keep it together in the locker room, you don't have any business performing or competing.
Well, there's another way to look at this too, Tyrus. Like there are times that we do get into locker rooms of guys we don't like. And back in the day when there was that issue, they didn't need an audience. They would go, hey, let's you and me go back here and talk and let's work this out.
Right.
And they would work it out in whatever form or fashion it took. But at the end of it, it was over and they moved on. Whereas it seems like now everybody wants an audience and wants attention and wants to, they don't ultimately really want to fight. I don't believe that at all. I think they want attention.
I think too.
Well, I mean,
sorry, I don't. Go ahead. No, go ahead, Idol. I'm sorry. Yep.
Oh no, I was just gonna say, like, it's interesting because the way the internet has just, you know, inserted itself into every nook and cranny of the wrestling industry, in particular, really, to where nothing is really kept secret. Look, back in the day, and I'm not condoning violence by any means. However, there's a right way to do this. And again, guys, back me up on this or tell me I'm wrong. But if it gets to the point where the only option is to like settle, you know, whatever you got to do with said individual, you go into a room quietly, you lock the door, and then you see what happens. And then when it's done, you come out and hey, it is what it is.
Right.
You're still protecting the business and your profession.
Well, that's what I was going to add is, how disrespectful is it, you know, possibly to the fans, right? Okay, because let's be honest here. That's what we're doing out there, is fighting each other, right? Yeah, it's a simulated combat. It's a simulated combat, but I mean, I think we can all agree, you know, we're just like normal people. We were traveling with each other all the time. We're all grown men. We're all in there fighting for money, time on television, to take care of the people that we love the most. And yeah, you know, when things build to a point where they can become very real, at least in an emotional sense, those things should be carried out on stage.
Yeah,
you know, that's our job.
Yeah. I just feel you know like what the I mean? Professionalism. Yeah. Is, and this is not a reflection on Mr. Khan. It's not a reflection on him at all. You know, it's just when you have, and that's the problem. I think the term professional is being used loosely now.
Right.
Because, you know, going on social media talking about you're going to punch somebody in the mouth or whatever the hell, that to me is a punk move anyways. You know, like that's a punk move. You a punk. You're a punk anyways because do it. Like, if it's that bad to every time I see Trevor, there's a problem. Eventually, I'm going to say, hey, you and me need to go out and we need to figure this out one way or the other. Yeah.
Right.
I'm not going to go over and talk to EC3 and start spitting on the sidewalk about Trevor.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I'm going to go to the source.
Yeah.
I don't think that's good for
business. Well, again, business. It's interesting. And I'm curious, like, is your opinion of like the leadership in the locker room? Because in our locker room in particular, you know, I think we pretty much like we're kind of the not generals, but like we kind of just monitor everything. And I really don't think if that was to the point where, I mean, if it was something other than a storyline where people are doing that online and this heat is escalating, I think it would be kind of nipped at the bud very quickly.
Well, yeah. Well, for one, you're hurting the show. You're a star. People buy tickets to come see you and then they can't see you
there?
Because.
No,
hey, I was on mute. That's fine.
Trevor, can you hear me?
If I was our locker room, yeah. If I was our locker room, here's what I see. I see a big circle emerging. I see everybody getting their bats out, you know, putting the nails in the bats. Maybe there's a 2x4. Also has a nail in it. Some guys grab a chain. Somebody has a trident for no reason. We circle around. We let the two dudes settle it. Dust up, get muddy, get bloody. See what happens. Better man wins. Doesn't matter. Nobody wins a fight, or everybody wins a fight because you've proved yourself. And whether you win or you lose, you have each other's respect. Now let's go make money. Or another option is, yeah, people want to see that. How much this has so much interest. We're talking about it. So rarely in wrestling are people interested in what's happening because it's become so like,
yeah,
if right. I was Mr. Khan, I would have, you know, oh, they're having a little Twitter spat match one. Open the
Thank
show.
You.
Yep.
15 Thank minutes. You. Nobody's yeah. Nobody's underlined. Let's see what happens. And then I bet, you know what? Numbers are high. People are talking. And I bet they create magic because at the end of the day, we are professionals and they would find themselves being professional in the heat of the moment.
Well, then I think it comes down to how much are you going to let social media control your product? Right? I mean, if you are running a business and a company and everybody's running around with a cell phone doing their own thing and you have one direction, I mean, that must blur the line a lot for some of these people, I would think.
Well, you know? And the other side of it is you have to think about, because I can think of three incidences offhand during my time in the WWE locker room where a couple guys got a little chippy.
Right.
You know, and it was usually over a massage table. or a trainer's or
right.
a training table.
Right.
Over
right.
most of the
or
fights.
Or who should eat first.
Yeah,
and
like
the,
some,
you know,
stupid, or some yep. stupid like that. Right. But the nobody said anything. They settled it. It was what it was. Right. Moved on. In one case, the guys had to wrestle together later that night.
Yeah.
Which probably made for a great match.
Well, yeah, that, well, it made right. for great back TV because, you know, because the guy who... The right. guy who was on the wrong end of it was higher on the food chain.
That's how so I.
He
yeah.
had to go wrestle. He had to go wrestle was. The guy.
Right.
He had to go wrestle the guy who just what fought him. You know, was tired of taking it.
Yeah.
So yep. and you were like, you know, so we're all watching like, ooh. But the thing was though, nobody went to Twitter, and I right. think that's more of the problem than guys fighting in the back. Is like how many of the I hate to even boys or girls or. Yeah. Guys who, or people, athletes who call themselves professional wrestlers, ran off to the internet, like Stooge City. Like there's, they don't protect
which
the
is
business.
A complete move.
Yes.
Complete move.
No, it's sad. Yeah, it's sad. It's like,
yeah, I don't want to say all like, we perceive ourselves to be. If we want to portray something, the fans should not only think but also want and expect that each and every week behind the scenes there is chaos and scuttlebutt and fights and pushing and hair pulling and biting and chairs throwing. They should think it's constant chaos in a professional wrestling locker room. Let's be honest. That's the only way to really envelop and develop, you know, feelings and emotions for the characters if you believe their actions. When we know it's a show, oh, they're good friends, but they're pretending to hate each other. You're taken out of the moment. So, like, right. We should always, yeah, like, you know, like.
Should you think we're ultimately getting worked?
No.
You think this?
I would say yes if they had any idea how to do the business properly, but at the end of the day, considering what happened.
No, no, don't slide by that. That was such a gig. I love it.
That's so true, though. No, it is.
If they knew what the f*** they were doing, they could make money with it.
They could. All right, not to get, like, everyone remembers there was the huge, the remember the Edge and Matt Hardy situation. That was like, yeah. That was a, I mean, that was a personal, that was, you know, horrible situation. Mm-hmm. And they went out and tore the house down when they literally hated each other during that period of time.
Lance and I had to follow them on a pay-per-view after they'd done their cage match. Because, you know, back then, a cage match wasn't main event. It had to be in the middle of the card.
Yeah.
So we had to go follow Matt and Edge in a cage match. And, yeah, those people were on fire for us after that.
I was just going to bring up that cage match because I actually just did kind of randomly stumble on it the other day. And just, you know, the realistic and the blood and even the finish, like, they're working but they don't like each other, and it's really cool. It's just refreshing to see.
Sean and Brett was another example of two guys who really didn't care for each other. Completely different points of mindsets when it came to the business and how it should be done, and you can be on whatever side you want to on that one, because I think both guys had a valid – they had a dog in the fight, right? And no one wants to pass the torch. And especially no one wants to pass a torch to somebody they think doesn't have the right to hold the torch, et cetera. But
not ready to pass the torch.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. I know. I remember that one. That was one of my favorites. Yeah. But when guys go out there, but as soon as they walk through the curtain, they're competing in the sport that the fans are there to see. And they're not going to disappoint the fans, even at the expense of their own personal feelings. And that, to me, is a true professional wrestler. Right. Is like,
yes, sir.
You know, because I cannot tell you, I mean, everyone in here has had their heart broken. Everyone in here has come in and been hot and working their ass off, and they're like, oh, man, I got a title match coming up. I'm like, oh, you know what? You're going to go, it's going to be 2 minutes. He's going to squash it. Sorry, we're running heavy on time, and we just...
Story's not about you.
We changed our minds. We just changed our minds. Mm-hmm. Is there something I did? No, we just don't like the way you look. Right. And that's it.
That's it.
You know, we don't think you're tough enough.
Yeah, you didn't wear your red.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, but it can be that simple. So then when you walk out, or even I'll just put it on me. My last match on SmackDown, I was wrestling Miz, and I have wrestled Miz 1,000 times. And Miz is up. But Finley couldn't really look at me, and I didn't know what was going on, right? And at some point they said, hey, Triple wants to talk to you. And I was like, all right, cool. Again, not a good sign. So at this time, Wade Barrett started getting heat. And he would come out during babyface matches and, like, talk about the babyface.
Right.
And then go away. And he came out in this big crane thing, like this big lift. And it was like, I've got some bad news.
Wade Barrett's bad news. I remember this. Yeah, right. I remember that. Yep.
And I ran into Wade, and Wade was like, I don't want to say any of this. And I just said to him, again, I really didn't know what was going on, but I was like, you got to do what you got to do, man. It's not, you know, it's not on you.
Yep.
And then eventually, finally, I came up to Triple H and I said, hey, found him. I said, hey, boss, did you need to talk to me? And he's like, do you have a problem with the finish? And I was like, no, I always do business. What's the issue? He's like, well, they said you had an issue. I said, what?
See, at least you got one of those talks.
Yeah, you know, and I was like, all right, cool, fine. I was like, well, you very much,
right?
You know, and then I finally.
Yeah, see, that was the I'm sorry to interrupt, but like that's the other aspect of it where, like, if you want to do business the right way, where we've all been on the same page, we've been on the the end of the card that or we're not necessarily happy with, right? But we got to go out there and perform. And look, we've both been guilty of being miserable as far as Tyrus and I. I wasn't really there at the same time Trevor was, so I can't speak for him or even Kevin, because I've never seen Kevin be miserable. But
I was pretty miserable.
Oh, okay, well, good. Well, hey, good.
I had my miserable stage for sure. Yeah.
But like when you do your job and they then like, because again, what happens is when we're given an assignment, there's this chain of command, right? We have the our producers, our agents, right, which are like Finley and Arn and like the men that are in charge of putting the match together and making sure the TV spots. Then there's the writers. Then there's the head writer, like, you know, your Michael Hayes's and such. And then Vince. So if someone doesn't like you, they can just simply say, oh, so-and-so's got an attitude, even if you don't. And that was, to me, one of the most frustrating, you know, elements of that. And at that time there, I don't know if it's like that there now, but, you know, when you have a bullseye on you, because again, you may have been having a bad day and not smiled when you pass somebody in the hallway. So you get labeled, you know, as yeah. such.
And,
yeah, the boo-boo face.
I think I pray to God, right? What's helped this, though, is there's multiple places to wrestle, right? I mean, we have NWA, we have AEW, and we have WWE, right?
Well, AEW's more like UFC now.
Yeah. But they're like back then. I can't even say I'm back then already, but I mean, their WWE was really, you know, pretty much.
It was like Impact and WWE.
Right. Yeah. And now what we got loaded. Five or six yeah. different places
New Japan,
now. Yeah.
Impact. Yeah. England's got one something. But right. Now here's the cool part. So eventually I figure out what's going to happen is I'm wrestling Miz and Wade comes out and is just going to bury me. And I'm a heel. So it's like he's a super heel getting that push right now. And he's burying me.
Right.
And I know Stu very well. So I know when it's his words and when it's not, you know, right. And it was like, he's the worst wrestler forever. He doesn't have it. He's not entertaining. He's terrible.
Yeah.
He's a waste of time and energy. That's not Wade Barrett.
Right. No.
That's
no,
not
no,
Wade.
No, no, no.
That's whomever decided to say those things. So right. In the match, right with the part when it got to about like, I was the worst wrestler ever or something like that. And I was DDT kick out something finish. I got hit with a DDT and I think I'm the last guy on TV not to kick out from it. I just stayed down. 1, 2, 3 side entrance. And I remember Finley walked over to me and goes, I would have done the same.
Wow.
I would have done the same. Just get out of there.
Yeah.
You know? And, that was it. That was my last match on SmackDown. And so
Did they talk to you after? Or did they?
Here's the deal.
Yeah.
I didn't. There was nothing I needed to hear from
right,
him.
Right, right.
I heard everything I needed to hear from Wade.
Right, gotcha.
Because he was basically saying what was written for him.
Sure, gotcha. Yep.
So why would I go back and say, hey, how'd you like it?
Yeah.
Was that good? Was that what you wanted?
Right.
You got what you wanted.
Right.
You know, and,
well, and you know, like you yeah. said, you know that it's, let's just get to the locker room.
And just get out. Like, if the day's over, it's not going to get any better. I'm going to go in there. And here's the deal. I policed myself very well there because there was a lot of times when someone could have got a quick left, especially when guys who've never been an athlete a day in their life or ever been in a real fight are talking to me about what it is to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
And I would always just kind of smirk to myself because they think the guy who yells the loudest and goes grunts and talks trash is tough. That's usually the scaredest mother in the room.
Right.
Yep. Like I was only time I did my talking when I was bodyguarding and doing what I had to do was at the end when I was making a joke about how quick they went out. So right. I never had to feel the need to yell at the top of my lungs or pretend like I was tough. Like I got paid to protect and be tough. I know the difference.
Yeah.
So when I would hear them talk in their suits telling me about how to be tough, I would always get a look on my face like, listen, I'm not going to go into NASA and tell those mother how to lift a rocket.
Right.
Why are you telling me how to be tough when the only thing you're tough about is like people don't talk shit to you because of your job and your position,
right.
Not you as a human being. If we were out in the Serengeti, bro, you get eaten. You understand? So
I have said this. I have said this time and time again, and I'm going to say it publicly now. Not the majority. There is a vast number of people, specifically within the WWE, and this goes for the developmental system on up, that have positions of authority that, had it not been for professional wrestling, they would be like, this is not anything, like, I'm not trying to downplay anything, like, because, look, we need people to do landscaping, but they would be mowing my lawn.
Yeah, no.
Okay?
Well, yeah.
And they have vice president positions and everything, and it's just like, in life, you know what I mean? You look at them, and, like, you see them on a plane, and people are like, why is this 300-pound slob, you know, dressed in, you know, an interesting suit or whatever, or interesting clothes, and we'll leave it at that. Like, how are they here? How are they in first class and you know, dealing with computers and things? It's just insane. And I'll shut up now.
But that's not wrestling. That's everywhere. Yeah. And that's one of the problems, especially now we see with everyone checks boxes and don't check resumes. And if you're sitting on top of a mountain, it takes a certain kind of person that would put somebody underneath them that can challenge them.
Right.
You see it a lot.
Right.
Why have the threat next to you?
Yeah.
So you surround yourself with yes men.
Yeah,
you
not
surround
hiring.
Yourselves with guys who will change their mind on the look on your face.
Right.
Yes. So that's the problem. And that has a reflection
hire people
of the leadership.
That'll make you better. Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Because
yeah.
Surrounding yourself with people who challenge you.
Right.
Two things. One, you'll get better, or
right.
They will.
Right.
And then you're stuck.
Yep.
You know, and then you're stuck in that. That's why that teacher-student thing in every movie always ends bad. Once the student becomes the teacher, they're mortal enemies.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the teachers become the student. Oh, it's a betrayal. No, he just took your knowledge and was able to take it further. But so now what they do is
the teacher has the high ground. Look at that. The teacher has the high ground.
Exactly. See, you know, if we want to get weird, Star Wars, what was Anakin thinking? Obi had the high ground, you know?
Yeah. Hey, well, but you know what? In the long run, it worked out.
We'll be back with much more after this.
Now, if I could get real with you for a second. Now, listen, when I turned 40, I started to notice a little decline in my aggressiveness in the gym, and I started to feel the effects of aging and feeling a little inadequate. So Nugenix came along and gave me a free bottle, and I tried it, and I noticed results immediately. I just felt stronger, more confident. You started seeing results back in the gym. You got to try that Nugenix Total T. I swear by it. It is phenomenal. Nugenix Total T Testosterone Booster with Tesnor will help you turn back the clock and re-energize your life. Prove it to yourself. Try Nugenix Total T before you buy. There's nothing to lose and everything to gain. New energy, muscle, drive, and even more passion. Get your complimentary sample when you text 231-231 and enter the keyword Tyrus, and that's T-Y. IRUS. Now get your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T when you text 231-231 and enter the keyword Tyrus. Text now and get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, the newest and most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you lose fat fast and get lean fast. Absolutely free. Text 231-231 and enter keyword Tyrus. Text 231-231 and enter the keyword Tyrus.
Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply. Number one doctor recommended brand by primary care physicians based on an independent survey conducted by IQVIA 2022.
I will say situations and people like that, though, have been some of my biggest reasons on why it's motivated me to be successful.
Yeah, you have to have a day like I had in SmackDown. You have to have that day to where you realize that you have no one but yourself.
Yep.
And what are you going to do
about
it? I
just had that day last week, actually.
Yeah, like you need to have an epic fail.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. Yeah. I love the highlights of my WWE career, and I embrace and cherish the most humiliating moments of my career because it wasn't the highlights that I said, "F this, I'll make you watch." It was the humiliating moments. It was the firing moment. It was the, I don't, you got to wear this and we don't want you to do that. It was those moments that is the fuel in my gas tank. It's not the high ones. So anyone who like listen to this and go like, oh man, it sucked to be there. There was any time you're in, listen, wrestling, NFL, it is an opportunity. It is not a necessity.
Right.
And there are a million guys who want your spot. Yeah. And if you're able to be there for a long term, and you're able to be there
in the world
and surviving and all this, and then one day they decide they're going another direction, that is not an affront on you.
Yeah.
That is business. And it's no one who ever gets let go of something they love is going to be okay with it. It's like your wife leaves you for a more successful man.
Right.
You're like, okay, I get it. But when she leaves you for the gardener,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Because she sees potential.
Yeah.
That burns.
You know what? One of my favorite moments of my career was in a time where I was getting a downturn. And it was honestly and truth was when they put me with you. And
I thought I was about to cry in the ring.
Well, I'm going
to
say, but I'm not, and I'm not, you know, I'm not doing, I'm not playing politics here, even though I'm saying,
I got no higher powers at all.
Truthfully, it was because they were like, you know what, and my career had kind of, you know, you were going up, I was going down, It was a 7-minute match that turned into something like 2.5 or 3 minutes. But I remember I got to dance. I remember they told me it's something they never had told me to do. And they said, we want you to go out there and we just want you to dance the best you can. And I said, I've never publicly danced in my life.
Right.
They said, we don't care about that. You're working the Funkasaurus tonight, and you're going to go out there and you're going to give us 2 minutes of dancing. And I did, right? And I thought it was okay.
Unfortunately, the Funkasaurus still was a psychiatrist in the ring. So it had to make sense to me.
No matter
what they had me do, it always had to make sense. Yeah. So I thought, it was, I would do my entrance, and then you would like, hey, I'll show you how it's done.
Yeah.
And you got caught up in the moment.
I got caught up in the moment of your energy.
And then you turned your back, and when you turned around, high cross body, 1, 2, 3.
Correct,
yeah, so, like, it wasn't that you got squashed.
No.
You just got caught up in the moment.
I got caught up in the pterodactyls, I believe.
The
Funkadactyls, thank you. They were out there. The music was rocking. There was at least 20,000 people there, and I got hit with the vibe.
Yeah.
Right? So I start dancing. I believe I start to sing a little bit
with a fake microphone. You just went all out.
That's right. I hand you the microphone. You realize there's no microphone in my hand, and you squash me at that point. But what I thought was, I was like, well, the next week I don't get to do any more dancing. That's where I was disappointed.
Yeah. Well, no, because
you can ask me to
dance.
You
made the worst thing is that they tried to humiliate you.
Right.
And you turned it around
and
got a huge pop.
That's right. Yeah. And I thought, and that's what I thought was a little bit, you know, if I was heartbroken in any way when I showed up to TV the next time,
been a few.
I wanted to dance more.
Yeah.
And, you know, but that wasn't part of the plan.
Yeah, whenever you turn something around that was supposed to, like, make you look bad.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, they're like, oh, he can move a little bit.
Okay, so this guy wants to play. You want to play rough?
Yeah.
Okay, let's play rough.
Exactly. You want me to dance? I'll sing and dance.
We're
going
to make you go to both TVs and not do anything all day.
That's right.
That's what we're going to do.
Exactly.
Because you're going to end up.
What a sick, demented, sociopathic, demented, psychotic playpen of trash. What a horrible, horrible life we've chosen.
Right.
Yeah, so that's the cool part.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, every time you're with her, you're gonna get the clap, but you just keep going in.
I'm just saying, they ask you to do
this
something, you do it pretty well.
Different.
You know, give them a chance to do it again.
You know,
that's
it's
all I'm
like
saying.
They're gonna, you know, but again, again.
Spray and walk away.
These are first world choices.
Right.
You know,
you don't
have to be a wrestler.
Right.
You do not.
Right.
You know, no matter how much you think you're supposed to be, you do not have to be a wrestler.
Right.
And but you know, another thing, we lost a legend this week, and you can't even say Japanese wrestling without even mentioning his word. Trevor, did you ever get a chance to work with Antonio Inoki or no?
I did not, man. While I was over there, Noah and I believe All Japan were kind of at odds, so I had no opportunities. But, bro, he splattered all over pro wrestling in Japan. Like, he's the godfather, the original.
Yeah.
They're all currently in mourning.
I worked. I got to work two shows of his out there in Japan.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he had his people reach out to me personally, and I was like, I got to wear the red scarf.
That's a big deal.
Oh, hey, I loved him. I mean, he was.
Hey, there's the color red again.
Yeah, oh, right. but it's a scarf.
That red again.
Yep. It's a scarf. So, but the way he did it was just, it was so, I love the fact that like he would not change anything as far as tradition. And when I'm saying like, and those of you guys who wrestle over in Japan, so there's no talking to your opponent. You're never even in the same room.
Right.
So
they believe completely, strictly babyface, you know, heel, separate locker rooms, no conversations, no hanging out.
Nothing.
Especially when the fans are around.
And we did, he would have a dinner celebration prior to the show where you would come out and they would have just food, some of the best steaks you've ever had. And you sit at tables and the heels had their table. And the baby faces had their table, and then you would be introduced with the person you're going to fight for, like a standoff in front of the cameras and stuff. And it was really cool. Now I went, me and Mike Knox tagged against their big team that they had this kid from China who was supposed to be on his way to like the next star and one of the legends, Tiger. I forget the other part of his name, but he was a massive
Li Fang.
Possibly, yeah. No, not Li Fang.
Oh, my God. That's another podcast for another day.
But, oh, God, Li Fang.
Remember I had to.
Didn't I tell him that he looked like low-key on his third bout of chemo? I think.
Yes. If somebody did, it was you.
Yeah,
you're so creative with your words.
Yeah.
You were creative with your words, Tyrus.
When I had to restrain him with nunchucks?
Yes.
Yeah. That was the real thing.
But and the second time I was out there, I wrestled Nick Aldis, and
how did that go?
I won. Okay. No, it was great. Nick, we got some pretty outrageous responses from the crowd. Usually they're pretty quiet, but like everything. It was one of the nice things about wrestling in Japan was their respect for the sport.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're out there.
It's still in the newspapers over
there. Oh, yeah. It's a respected art form. And there was sumo wrestling students there that were just in awe and asking for autographs and pictures and stuff because they, you know, but the audience, though, one thing that they will do is if your stuff is snug and tight, they will honor it.
You know what I know, because I never got a chance to outside, but in WWE we went over there and there was a dead silence
before the clap, yeah,
and then just
rapid
everybody 10,000 and then back to silence, and the way
they watch,
they're very in tune to everything and they're very appreciative of the work in there, and but not the most. Yeah, not the most vocal, but the way they cheered was different. And I remember they had to warm me up and by telling me, look, if they don't cheer for you, don't freak out.
Yeah, that's right? A good thing. Yeah. Well, it's cultural, right?
Right.
Because Japan, they watch, they clap, but if they really like it, you get the groaning. Ooh.
Yeah. Right.
And then you get the thing. Yeah. But then you'll go to the UK and they'll sing songs.
Yeah. Did you guys get the if they don't cheer for you, don't freak out talk? Or is that just me?
That we were there and we were supposed to know the
Okay, just curious.
Yeah. Hey, Antonio, quick second, sir. Right. What's with this crowd? These marks don't get it.
Yeah.
I'm stomping my foot and clapping my hands,
right?
And these guys are just looking at me. This show sucks, said no one. The thing about Antonio, like, he fought Muhammad Ali.
Right.
He was, like, in every movie. I remember when the Bad News Bears went to Japan.
Right.
He was there. And then, and speaking of how you handle... Right. Yeah. You know, we were talking about, you know, the locker room where everyone wants to fight everybody on Twitter and not fight in front of the camera.
Right.
He was working a guy. They brought in a guy. I put it up because I think it is the most it's the greatest tribute to wrestling ever. It's up on my Instagram. And this guy was just a fat guy. I mean, he had bright yellow sweats on.
The video. Yes.
And he basically thought he was unstoppable. Like, his wrestling character was he didn't feel pain.
Yeah.
He didn't sell anything.
Okay. I like this guy. Okay.
So he gets in the ring with Antonio Inoki.
Okay.
And here is this star. Right. I mean, star. This guy's wrestled everywhere. He's wrestled everybody. He's in Japan. This is the most. This is the match you want to be.
Right.
You're in the main event with a with wrestling's Michael Jordan.
Gotcha.
All over the world.
Yeah.
And this guy won't sell anything.
Oh, God.
Noki gives him a drop kick.
Like
no
he's
sell.
Hitting his stomach, his own stomach.
And yeah, and he kept hitting his stomach, and I'm too strong.
Wow.
I'm too strong. Hits him again. Hits him again. Shoulder tackle, nothing. I'm too strong.
Wow.
I'm too strong. He looks at the referee. He looks around. He's like, God damn. So finally, he lets the guy put a little heat on him, and the guy starts punching the back of his neck with these really unsafe forearms, holding his head down, which you know you don't do.
Right.
And he's hitting him, and he just had enough.
Yeah.
And he pops up, and he just starts slapping him with two pieces. I mean, pop, pop, pop. He knocks this guy. Then the guy is like freaking out now because, that hurt.
Yeah.
That hurt.
Yeah.
Then he goes underneath the guy, single leg takes down him, and proceeds to stomp a mud hole in his head.
Mm.
Knocks him out.
Curb stomps his
head. I mean, just curb stomps him.
Wow.
And here's the thing. That's the thing.
You don't sell next time, right?
But that's the thing about wrestling.
Yeah.
Don't get it twisted.
Right.
You know, it used to be that way.
Yeah.
You remember that. Antonio tried. Like, he stretched that out.
He did everything he could to try to get this guy. And then once he started throwing away the business.
Right.
The sport that we love.
Yep. Right.
Then he let him know at any time this can be real.
Right, right.
And you don't want it. Yeah, and you don't want to be real with Antonio Inoki because
I think that's missing from pro wrestling today. And
well,
I think
we just don't those guys just don't get jobs anymore.
Right.
They all end up in the NWA.
No, very true.
They all end up in the NWA.
No,
well, we don't have that issue in our locker room. Like,
no, but if we had a guy who decided to say, I'm not selling Tyrus.
Yeah, you have to at that point, don't you? I mean, if he's not going to do it. Yeah.
That's what I wish a motherfucker would.
You know, but we had guys that didn't want to, you know, like, you know, waiting to pull the trigger. I mean, you have young, youthful exuberants who they watch wrestling matches and they're playing wrestler. I think that's a common problem is that we have Chris Jericho does it great when he does the sports entertaining thing with the wrestling thing. And both are compliments, but the worst of each side is like the politics, the extreme of it. The extreme sports entertainer doesn't sell anything, doesn't register anything, is all about himself. Every time he does a move, he turns to the audience for 7 minutes.
Right.
You know, that guy, everyone hates that guy.
Right.
You know, the most exciting, the best part about him is his entrance outfit.
Right.
Which he wears in the locker room all day.
Right.
It's like,
well, and it's even worse when they don't know they haven't been.
Once
anywhere.
The bell rings, like, it's over.
Yeah.
Damn right.
As soon as the bell rings, that's it.
But it is.
But they know five finishers. And this is where EC3 goes. But this is where EC3 will go nuts. Because one of my favorite EC3 posts was when he started talking about dives to the floor. He started listing every move that makes him sick. Like, please, for the love of God, try something different.
Yeah. It's mostly the tope suicida through the second rope.
Yes. He hates it. Absolutely hates it.
You gotta take that out of my repertoire.
Yeah, nothing. So from CYN, I had a band, but I said, you know what? It's just a suicide tope. You can still backflip over the top rope. You can still take or dive over the top rope. You can still swanton over the top rope. You can still do a drop kick to the floor. You can still go to the top and planche. You can go to the top and moonsault. You can go to the top and you can cross body. You can go to the top and you can Phoenix Splash. You can 450. You can do whatever you want. Hey, you want to go through the ropes? You can do the low pay like Austin Aries. You can go through the first rope. But just don't do the low pay suicide.
Social media didn't care about all of that. They just cared about what you said you didn't want to do.
Yep.
It was the one bad thing.
That was beautiful.
One guy, and it's a dive everybody does. It's a standard, I can fall down. Gravity could take me out of a ring. Watch this.
In my career, I have done one dive, and I did it on Monday Night Raw because for some reason – it was me and Tenzai and against the one man rock band and Drew and Jinder. And somehow they all ended up on the floor and I wasn't where I was supposed to be. And I was on the apron and I went, And I just remember running out and I was on the outside. So I ran off the rope, off the lane and jumped. And I just remember Drew looking and smiling like, oh, no. Like,
on your way down, right? Way down.
Yeah. Like, yep. Yeah, and then I hit the ground and we're down there laying. I remember Heath was like,
he's made this choice. He's made this choice. Okay.
Like, why would you do this?
Yeah. Well, there is a point when you're in the air where it, like, and I speak for all of the 3MB members there, where, like, it is like time does slow down. Because yeah. Every night when you would hit me with the splash off the middle, and I'm not going to lie, the first time I was terrified. Like, I'm laying there, and here you are. I mean, you were what, like 350 then?
Yeah.
Like, and you come jumping, and it's not a fall. It's not like the old Akeem, where he would just let gravity do the work. Like, by the way, I love Akeem, one-man gang. But, like, you would actually jump and do it, and every single time, I felt nothing. But the crowd went nuts. And, again, it's just a guy your size should not be able to move like that, and that's it's just one of those things in wrestling.
Not bad for, quote, the worst wrestler ever. And I was like, no. I wanted to grab the mic and say, Collie's right. What, really? Is that what we're doing? Is that what we're doing? Titus, get out here. Literally, seriously. Right. Titus, get out here. Right. Like,
take a header under the ring.
Hey, make you famous. Best wrestler in the world.
It did make him famous. Though.
Hold it right there. We'll be back in a bit.
But no, you know, Titus, nice yes. About our locker. Oh, Titus is great. No, yeah. You know something?
Super nice guy.
Hey, you know what? Here's a guy who found his lane and excelled in it.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Period.
And he's doing so much good, dude.
Yeah, like, he really
I
is.
See that guy yep. all over doing charity work.
You almost don't people. Like him because he's so positive.
Right. Well, right. Right. But you that's not saying? His fault, though,
that's
right?
Me. That's on me. Yeah, yeah. That's my character flaw. And I'm, you know.
No, yeah, no.
I love you, but goddamn, yeah. Man, I can't.
You are a positive human.
Yeah, yeah, he's just, no, something about you.
I know exactly
just
what
that glow about. Around you yep. makes me sick.
Yeah, what was the quote? You were with me and A-Rai, and it was like.
A-Rai was defending. A-Rai was defending somebody. Yeah. He's like, hey, everybody perfect. Loves that guy. You're like, right. Everyone likes his perfect. Friend. He's everybody's yeah. friend. I said, he's nobody's friend.
Right.
He damn sure ain't mine. Because anybody who's friends with everybody is nobody's friend.
Right. Yeah, anybody that nobody has a problem with has a problem with me.
Problem with
yes.
me.
Yes. That, yes. Yes.
Which is, that's
that needs to
one.
Go somewhere oh, in no, bold that was, print.
Yeah. That's,
anybody yes. nobody has a problem with has got a problem with me.
Yep. Amen. That was word yeah. for word. That was it.
Yeah. Yeah, we were in a van or something yeah. in some town. Yeah, I remember yeah. that coming out of the gym or something.
Oh, no,
yeah,
was it our genius. SummerSlam trip when the three of us rented the car?
Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah, yeah. There was a lot of other quotes that can't be
yeah. Yeah. There were. No. Yeah, that was.
I'll simply say the word half.
Yeah, we love you, Idol.
I forgot. Yeah, we've had
but
some.
But what
some
was
fun.
Said was anybody that doesn't have a problem with anybody's got a problem with me.
You know, and
damn
I think
it, that's very real.
T-shirt, boys.
It really is.
It has, and that oh. has served me well.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
has served me well in life. It really has. Because it's always the guy that everybody's cool
what
with.
Was that
the guy that,
right.
Huh?
EC3's got merch out already.
Yeah, there yeah. we go.
I'm writing that down.
Are yeah. they lined up outside the window at the studio right now? Do you have an audience for this? Are we like.
You know, no, two. Jason hasn't come over yet, so we're good. They did warn us though. They're like, "Hey, we need the room at 4:15." I'm like, "Cool, we'll be done at 4:14." we hit our times, Briz. But you know, just going back to Inoki real quick, it's like when somebody passes on that has historically made the game better. Like he made wrestling better. And you don't see as much recognition. It's kind of like, it's a little deflating. I felt like, and maybe I was wrong, maybe I missed it, but I thought every wrestling organization probably should have had a moment because he's one of the, he's up there, in my opinion, he's up there with an Andre the Giant, a Dusty Rhodes.
Oh, for sure.
Guys who,
yes.
Macho Man Randy Savage, you know, guys who changed the game. This guy was a star. Like Muhammad Ali, the heavyweight champion, fought him. And everyone was mad because he never got off his back, right? Because he was a wrestler and he was waiting for Ali to make a mistake, you know. But he was one of those, and he did so many things. outside of the wrestling world, took a lot of chances. Not everything always worked out. And one of the things I liked is that he took, you know, and it's kind of like one of the things I respect about EC3 so much. He made his own promotion. He started doing his own thing. And it was, it got very successful. You know, test of time is one thing or another, but it's kind of cool when you see somebody who became bigger in the game to where no promoter could control him. You know, he became bigger than the game, you know, and I think that's what we all aspire to. But the problem is no one's going to let you do that anymore. Like, you know, the days of having a Hulk Hogan to a certain extent, or somebody who literally would come in and be like, this is what I'm going to do today. With very few exceptions, I think that is pretty much done. I think the universe has become the star. The audience.
Wow. Very interesting observation.
The wrestlers are interchangeable. You don't even have to look the part.
Well, and nowadays it feels as if it's the company that's pushed more over.
Right.
More so
and that started during our time. Nothing bothered me more than two guys wrestling and the announcers are talking about another storyline or other pubbing commercials. I used to just, how do you expect us to create this magic when the guys being paid to watch us aren't even watching us? Yeah. And that to me, I thought was the end of the individual achievement in wrestling.
Well, the madness of it is you're hurting your own product. Like, why would you intentionally hurt your product, the guy you're paying money to, the guy that you're pushing to try to get over to help you make money?
The other side of it, I see the other side of it is, why would you put yourself in a situation when you had to deal with somebody who became bigger? It goes back to that whole thing. Why put people around you that challenge you or possibly could take your spot? So you see a guy who starts getting going and starts drawing attention and is becoming a star, and you're like, wow, am I going to be able to control this guy? So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have a bunch of guys that are kind of stars, and they'll spend all their time fighting in between each other, and we'll pull one up every now and again and bring it back down, pull them up, bring them back down, then that's how we're going to do it. We're not going to be in a situation where we have a John Cena anymore or even like I think Brock was probably – maybe Brock, CM Punk was probably the last two.
But look what happened, though. Like, and every time – when you have given someone that kind of, and I say,
well, Idol, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, CM Punk just came back and now he's fired, right? Because he got into a locker room fight. He had an opportunity to be a you know,
I like Punk.
Yeah.
But I just feel like that was stupid. And I don't know why he would fight two of the most religious guys on the planet.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like the Young Bucks, I just don't see any reason to hit them.
Right.
But the other side of it is, though, I didn't like when people started coming forward and saying Punk was racist and all that. He made a stupid decision, 1,000%. Maybe he was frustrated. I don't know. But, you know, he should know better than that. But, you know, to say that he's that, that's complete bullshit. But, you hate
tough
to see
enough to stand up for our own issues, let alone have people add more.
Yeah, you know, doesn't need any help. Like he's dug a pretty good grave for himself as far as where do you go from here? You know, because it's not like he's going to come in and be a mid-card guy.
Yeah,
he's not going to come in and get the next guy ready.
Right,
like he's
still
one
to
be
the biggest heel. Could be brought back as the biggest heel.
Yeah, I would.
And make a ton of money.
You know, have him squash it and move on. But, but that has, you know, and plus it's better for everyone. CM Punk in wrestling is better for everyone.
Right, right.
Whether you like him or not,
right.
It's better for everyone.
Yep.
Oh, great.
Yep. Jericho is better. And the reason why Jericho is there, because no one can outwork him yet.
Yep.
Period. You know?
And he's massively creative, that guy. Yeah. You know what I mean? He reinvents himself every, I think. You know,
but the one thing that I see that he's doing that I can say I don't think I've ever seen another guy do is he's building everyone around him.
Right, right.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He's making stars.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And that
everybody
that unselfishness.
Right.
Because he doesn't have to.
Yeah.
He's held every title except I think NWA's World Heavyweight Championship.
Right.
It's the only one he's never held.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
What the hell is he? You know, what the hell is he waiting for then, huh?
Well, it's a long line, brother.
There you go. That's right. Yeah, damn right it is. You're damn right it is. Or, yeah.
And there's bigger fish in this pond.
Amen.
In terms of physical. Yes.
Amen.
You're not going to be. There's not going to be a lot of walls of Jericho over, over here.
Right.
No, not at all. No,
no but, way.
You know,
go back to that Antonio Inoki match.
Yeah, for real quick. But. You know, but anywhere he goes, though, is going to be better. But I'm saying, like, they have those like him and Daniel Bryan. I'll watch that. I'll watch that any day of the week. You know, yeah. Moxley is one of my favorite guys to watch work just because he's just doing it right. Yeah. You know, and I always hear arguments. And there was one match I absolutely hated. I was just flipping through the channels and I was like, why are they doing this? And one of the arguments was, well, maybe that's what they want, the company wants. And I was like, no, I don't believe that because the top guys use psychology. So, you know, but you can't teach him everything, you know, but it's a, like I said, in NWA, like I said, we've got so many different personalities right now, you know, and EC3 coming on board. It's like when EC3 comes, he's going to make people better around him. He's another guy who does that.
Right. Without a doubt.
You know,
I'm awesome. You're right. I'm the best.
Well, no, you understand the fact that it does not help you or anybody else to bury the guys that are around you to cause trouble.
Yeah, because then you beat nobody, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You give a guy five power bombs and then he's up 30 seconds later kicking you on the ground.
Right.
You just threw away all your
correct.
Like, yes. Yeah. It's just common sense, and the fact that you have that EC3 is a welcoming, you know, a welcoming addition to the locker room.
Yeah, well, I was actually planning on talking a bunch of, like, smack to Trevor Murdoch. I'm going to fight him on Twitter.
there's still time for that.
Hit me too hard if I ever see him, you know.
You don't want to work with me no more, none of that, yeah.
No, I'll only you in real life.
Co-workers.
I'm going to punch you in the face twice.
I love it.
Again,
love it
if you have to hit somebody in the face twice who's not fighting you back,
right?
You really shouldn't be fighting.
Correct.
Because, that's a reflection of you.
Yep.
Bam.
Yeah.
Why are you hitting me? Bam. Why are you hitting me?
Okay.
You, sir, should not hit anyone because you have no punching power. Like, you're embarrassing yourself. Like, it doesn't take much knock him up. I really don't. Right. So if you're going to just take two shots at him, you know, and I also think if you're going to throw, we here on the Wiseman do not condone sucker punching at all.
No.
In any form.
No, it's a sucker.
But if you must, you don't miss.
No.
Nobody misses a sucker punch.
No.
What kind of... that infuriates me. Like, that in itself is a fireable offense. Like, okay, what happened? Well, A-Ryan and I were having a conversation, and it went south, and I turned my back, and he swung at me. Oh, where'd he hit you? Actually, he missed. Excuse me. You may go. Enjoy your day.
That's right.
Send that right to my office right now. Tell him to bring his bag.
Yeah, and don't ever come. Please. Right.
Yeah. You
open
go,
up your wallet.
You have the gall. Right, you have the gall to miss a sucker punch. We can't use this.
You can't use that. That's inoperable at that point.
You can't use that.
Yeah. No.
Sneak attack. Top of the fact, he missed.
Every time you see that guy, that's the first thing you see in his head.
Yeah.
Every time you see that guy walking down the hallway, that's that he missed me when he tried to hit me.
If I missed a sucker punch, like I take a swing at somebody and I completely whiff. not only am I not looking back at them, the forward momentum of that missed punch has me taking my head down and walking straight out of the room.
Yes.
Grabbing my bag, straight out of the building, and right off a dock into the water, and let's see if I can swim.
Yeah, I would immediately call my family and apologize to them for the shame I've brought them, because this is going to live on for legends. Like,
shame.
You just became an urban legend.
Shame! That's all I hear now. Shame! Shame!
I agree I agree with everything that you all just said. I'm on your side. Let me play defense attorney for a second. You know, and again, I am not a tough guy, right? I am probably the least toughest guy in this room and on this conversation, all right? However, we've all kind of been in an altercation at some point or another, right, in our lives. And there is that, you know, okay, everything kind of slows down, right? And like your thoughts seem to process like a little bit quicker in the time it takes to actually like throw a punch or any kind of action. Do you think he cocked his fist, went to throw the punch, and then said, oh, I'm at work. Why am I doing this? And then, like, changed direction last second and then realized, like,
okay.
Wow,
all right. I'm getting mad. Did you guys get mad. There's no MMA check guy? Swing second punch. This is baseball. Fight? You check, like, the judge. You go to the umpire on first base. He says still sucker punch. You don't. That's even worse.
Okay. So that, you know what, that rules that theory out. I just want.
Can you imagine? Well, you still get caught doing the motion.
How does he miss the sucker punch?
That's why the second punch happened, yeah. Because like he did it and he was like, oh, you know what? That was a bad idea. I'm just going to go for the golden.
Wow.
I'm going to aim this time.
It was a bad idea, period.
It was.
Yeah. Save it for the rig. You know, yeah, this is where you know what? The one thing I will say about Deep South, I never had any energy to fight anybody.
Yeah.
Absolutely none.
Yeah.
After 2 days, you could have called me the N word. I'd be like, all right, you won, bro. I'll get you. I'll get you later, man. Yeah. I can't lift my arms over my head. So we just going to. We go,
but even then, yeah, and you know that, wouldn't Bill handed you guys boxing gloves and said, hey, go yeah. in there and there get was, it straightened out.
There was one, we had one time where somebody said something or did something, and I remember Bill looked at him and says, I mean, do you want to go through with this? And the guy was like, I'm sorry, what? He's like, you're going to get your ass kicked, and I'm not going to pull him off you. So how far do you want to go with this?
Yeah.
And I remember the kid just said, I don't know. I guess I'll let it go.
right, yeah.
Now, let me ask you a question. If there was a little bit more of that in this world, wouldn't you think people would be better?
Yeah, honestly, I think
it
would have been,
what
you know,
they say to you.
There's certain things in the locker room that I just feel like need to be in the locker room. And it's not, you can't, when you have grown men competing in a sport and going after each other, having HR in the middle of the room probably isn't the best idea. And there's some things that you just have to go out. You know what? We used to have to shoot wrestle all the time. You know, put two guys on the mat and just go like work it out, figure it out. If you want to box, that's a great idea. You know, glove up.
I always tried to see it this way too. With foot, we remember a camp fight in football.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I got to fight every camp.
There's
a
100 guys. There's 100 guys there in 2 days, and they're all pretty much working together. That's the idea.
And 40 of them are going home.
Well, right. That's right. And you know, and with, you know, giving their life for this, right? But it happens. You know what I mean? There's a camp. I remember a camp fight once a year. But then it's over.
It's over.
You know what I mean? Because the truth of it is, why in the hell are y'all fighting each other back here when we should be fighting each other out there? Right. Not each other, but whoever, whatever our motive, wherever we're going with this, let's use our energy and put it in the right direction. You know, but those things, they would happen. I think the problem is,
and it's such a great point, man, because I think the problem is that people are forgetting this is still a sport, and some people think they're a lot better than they are,
right?
A lot of bigger star than they are. They believe their Twitter and their fake accounts. And
right.
They believe the wrong things, and they're a top guy, and they're over.
Yeah.
You know, you can't tell yourself you're over.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You can't. You know when you're over is when the guy who doesn't want to book you has to book you.
Right.
You're over.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yep. It's like, oh, man, we got EC3 of this pay-per-view. God, I can't leave him at home.
Fuck yeah.
Yep. Know it all. You know?
Right.
We got to book him.
Yeah.
We got to book him.
Yeah.
You know? And that's when you're over. So not I'm over because I threatened to hit people. Yeah, I just there's that never should have seen any internet, and that's a bigger problem.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, does that come down to not having that locker room leader? Because you know as well as I do, back in the day when Taker was running that locker room, that kind of didn't happen in his locker room.
You leaked stuff once.
Yep.
And if you sat next to the leaker, you were gone too. Because you knew.
Yep.
So, you know, and again,
absolutely,
it's a fraternity, and it's in my book, New York Times bestseller, but in my book, one of the things I talk about is I say, and this is the part of the locker room that's none of your business because you didn't earn the right to be here.
Yeah.
What we said and do, laughed, cried about, argued about in the locker room, that's ours. We earned that.
Right.
That was our little carrot for putting ourselves through mental hell, as EC3 so eloquently put. Sharing it with strangers, to me at least, is disrespectful to every guy who sweat, bled, cried, lost a loved one because they wouldn't be with him anymore because he was on the road or he was chasing a stupid dream. Everyone who ever lost any of that stuff to just share it with some stranger is absolutely asinine to me. But that's just me. I don't believe in tell-alls because it's for the fraternity. And even the stuff we talk about here, it's all watered down.
Right.
You know,
yes, because, it is. Yep.
You know, because that's what we're supposed to. You get a little taste of what it is, but your ass never put the boots on. And you damn sure never sprayed cologne in a shoe and smelled it on Monday Night Raw TV because you were told to.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Old.
You never did.
No, they never did.
You. That was okay. I'll tell you what was before crazy old Vince took that thing over. Just quick synopsis. People who don't know what we're talking about are going to be like, what is he talking about? Well, what I'm talking about is the idea of the World's Strongest set when they asked me, hey, come up with some SNL like gigs. All right, here's a good idea. I would just steal Sex Panther from Anchorman. Like, that's not hard. So Derek Bateman shows up with this cologne, sprays on the World's Strongest scent, boom, walking up to people, and then it's just chaos unfolding. Everyone's like, oh my God, what smells? Ah, oh, it smells like Bigfoot's you know? And then I even had the ring announcer kind of do the old throw up on me, you know, the old SNL puke right. code, you know, and then LOL would have been hilarious. But old man Vince, you know, he went and took that thing over, and
he never saw Anchorman.
He loved it. He wrote every word.
He never saw anything in color.
No.
No.
Except me. Just kidding. Just kidding. Love the old man. Anyway, for more podcasts like this, just like this, you can catch us at foxnewspodcast.com. This has been EC3,
nope.
Kevin Arai, Trevor Murdoch, and Aaron, the idol, or whatever else his name is this week. Haddad, sorry.
You got to go with the real name, but that's my name with SAG. I registered it. It's on all the credits in my face.
Congratulations.
I'm Charles Payne. Listen to my Unstoppable Prosperity podcast so I can get you making money right now. Whether stocks are hitting new all-time highs or in free-fall mode, opportunities abound. So why are so many potential investors still sitting on the sidelines? In a new season of my podcast, I'm going to get you in the game. After 38 years on Wall Street, I'm ready to impart some lessons and get you invested in the greatest wealth-generating machine in history. Listen anytime, everywhere at foxbusinesspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.